Thank you, Tim. Good morning, everybody. Good to see y'all. Always is a pleasure to be here with you and share the word and appreciate how the Lord expresses himself through the worship and through the things Tim was sharing this morning. And I was telling the first service, I always pray when I'm sitting up here in the front before I come up or do the middle section, just that God's heart would be expressed in through this filter. You know, as human beings, we're a little frail and weak sometimes, and certainly none of us are perfect, but just praying that God's heart would be expressed, and I think that happened this morning. We're going to talk a little bit today about communication and a specific term that's a Hebrew term that we're going to find in Genesis chapter 22. So you can turn to Genesis chapter 22 if you would, please. We're going to be reading here what's called in the Jewish tradition the Akedah, A-K-E-D-A-H, and it is the offering of Isaac. It's the Abraham-Isaac story, the binding of Isaac, and the potential sacrifice there. Before I read that, you know, I was thinking this morning, I received a few emails from some friends, one in Guatemala, one in Honduras, and, you know, talking about language and word uses and so forth, as we'll get to here, how words can have variant meanings and so forth, and English really is a bad one. You know, I could say to Kenny, that's a cool shirt. Well, somebody that doesn't understand the language might think, cool, okay, is that a refreshing shirt? Is it airy, or is it kind of, that's a neat shirt. I wish I had something like that, you know. So anyways, when I get text, sometimes they will like to try their English on me. And they're brief, you know, it's short sentences, but, you know, I always get the gist of what they're saying, but sometimes they will use a word that is used improperly. It's the right word, but in the wrong context. Okay, so my Spanish-speaking families understand what I'm talking about. And when I was saying this morning to the first service, I thought, you know, is that how I sound to them when I'm speaking, you know, trying to type Spanish or speak Spanish to them? And I'm don't ask Eladio, because yeah, Tim, he's terrible. His Spanish is terrible, but we try to get the message across, right? So we're going to look here in chapter 22. This is its subtitle in my Bible, The Offering of Isaac. And we're going to look here at a specific phrase. In the Hebrew, it is said to be hineni, H-I-N-E-N-I, hineni. And it means, here am I, or here I am. We're going to see this term used, in the Torah, in the Old Testament law, the books of the law, the five books of the law. We see this term used in covenant, establishment of covenants and so forth between God and man and individuals. And it's used also in relation between man and man as they use it. But we're going to talk about this specific word. But it's used three separate times here in this passage. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. And it's used in ensuing scriptures beyond that, or passages beyond that in this chapter. But let's follow along with me. This is Genesis chapter 22. I'll start in verse 1. This is the offering of Isaac. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Hineni, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. I mean, it took him a little while to get here, right? Third day now, he's seeing it at a distance. Verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Verse 7, Isaac spoke to Abraham his father, and this is Isaac to Abraham his dad, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, Hineni, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. And then in the verses that follow, we see this phrase again, whereas Abraham is ready to offer his son Isaac, it says that, verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him and from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Hineni, here I am. Father, we just pray today that your heart would be revealed and expressed through this passage, through the words that we share here together, and applied to our lives as you desire to do it in that beautiful relationship that you seek with each and every one of us. That we too, like Abraham, can say, here I am, Lord. I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, school is about to start. Well, we hope school is about to start another month or so in some fashion. And, you know, I was thinking about this term because in the Hebrew, Hineni is different than the word for just present. So if I do attendance in class and I say Jimmy Jones and he says here, that's a different Hebrew word than the one we're discussing here in this passage and in other passages in the scriptures. So I can be here physically present. You can be here physically present and not be employing this term Hineni, okay? I think it's POV, P-O-V. I'm here, but I'm not, you know, I may not be all up here paying attention to what you're saying, Mr. Archer. And many times that happens, believe it or not. And so this term is different. This term is saying, I'm not only here physically, but I am 100% focused on what you are saying to me. I am here as your child, as your servant. I am with you. I am attentive. Tim was talking earlier about, church, I need your attention, church. Do I have it yet? And this is kind of that mentality. But it's not a scolding. It's just saying, as we see examples here, again, that many times this is used in the forming of covenants, God with his people. It's significant. And so it's important that the hearer is responding in a right way. And I, you know, there's a phrase that said, the response reveals the relationship. When God is speaking to us, how we respond, attentive or not, or some variation in between, says a lot about what our relationship is to him. And just think about it in our human relationships, you know, with your spouse or your children or somebody at work. And, you know, we have varying degrees of attention that we desire to give somebody when we're talking with them. In this case, Hineni, that Hebrew term, we are giving everything. I am responsive to your voice, Lord, regardless of the risk or challenge or change that it may bring to me. Right? And so, as Isaac is laying there, you know, we say, I'm here, son. It looks like you're about to be sacrificed. I'm here for you. That seems like a contradiction. But remember, Abraham said to his two guys that were walking with him, the helpers, we'll be back. And in Hebrews, it talks a little bit about that faith that Abraham had, that God would provide the sacrifice. And of course, he does. It verbalizes the covenant relationship that we have with the hearer. In this case, God Almighty. But again, it plays out in our human relationships as well. Okay? And so, you know, think about it in our relationships with people. You know, in this age with technology and so forth, it's very easy to be in a conversation with somebody and you know, whether they're looking at you or not, they are not paying attention. Their mind is somewhere else. And I you know, Patty's not here, so I can say it. This happens with me many times in my conversation with Patty. Patty maybe comes home, especially now that I'm home more, and Patty comes home from work and she'll want to share a little bit about, you know, what's going on. And my mind is, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, okay. You know, and you throw in that every once in a while, that, just to acknowledge that I'm here. But it is not Hineni, right? It is not giving my full attention. And this is what the Lord wants. Our total readiness to give oneself to something greater than you, okay? Something important. And that could be a relationship with people here on this earth. It's not just the vertical, but also horizontal. We have, you know, there's a number of examples of this term used in Scripture, and they're key elements of the Old Testament, key stories. And I'll just give you a few of them here to give you an idea. Exodus chapter 3, this is Moses and the burning bush. He's up there, he's on the mountain, he sees a burning bush, he goes over, and God says to him, Moses, Moses! And what does he say? Hineni, here I am. He had God's attention, and God had Moses' attention. And of course, we know the stories that follow through the book of Exodus. In 1 Samuel as well, God is talking to the boy Samuel, the future prophet. Remember, there's Eli in the other room. And God, the Lord, is speaking to Samuel. And what is he saying? He thinks it's Eli. So he's thinking it's this relationship. But God is speaking to him, and he responds, "Hineni, I'm here. I'm listening. What do you have to say to me?" Now, again, all of this keep in context of your own life. And when God is speaking to us, and if you can say, "Well, the Lord doesn't speak to me," well, open this book right here and read. That is the Lord speaking to us. It doesn't have to be some super spiritual thing for the Lord to announce his voice to us. Isaiah as well. Sometimes some of us may know the story of Isaiah, the prophet, when the Lord says to him in chapter 6, "Whom shall I send?" And he responds, "Hineni, here I am, send me." Right? And lots of times, you know, if it's hard to understand fully the heart of a person, even our own heart, when we respond to the Lord, "I'll do it, send me, let me do it, I'll go." And then we don't really know what we're going to do until we're in it, right? It's one thing to say it, but the Lord sees the heart, he understands, and as we'll see, it's a process for all of us to develop that relationship and to grow in him. So like Isaiah, we desire to go, to be used by him, and to say, "I'm here." Now, I have to think many times, Tim was talking earlier about people in the law enforcement retiring because of what's going on there. And I've seen this as well in education, people that are retiring over these last few months that were kind of towards the end, kind of like me, but that weren't ready quite yet. But now they are retiring. They're just not ready to do that. And I think about my own life, and I think, "Lord, if you ask me to do such and such, am I really deep down in the end, when it comes to taking that step, am I there? Am I there here and in my heart to where everything that I am, my relationships, my location, my job, everything is yours?" And that's what this term is saying. Everything, everything is yours, Lord. Every relationship that I have, every job that I have, work that I do, you know, all these things, my family. You know, family is a tough one because our heart for those that we love is protective. And sometimes it takes faith to let go a little bit and trust the Lord to work in our children and so forth. And so many examples, and there are others. You know, a lot of this is in the Torah, the first five books, the law, where God is establishing relationships. One example I'll use, which is the negative, and sometimes this is used in debate. Use a negative example to prove them wrong, the other side wrong, right? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, we have the story of Adam and Eve. We all know this, and they've taken a bite out of the apple. That was yummy, you know, the forbidden fruit, and things are not looking very good. Well, it says later on there in chapter 3 that God, in the cool of the day, is walking through the garden, and he says, "Where are you?" He's talking to Adam and Eve. Now, does he know where they are? Of course he knows where they are, right? He can see. And what do? Do they respond, "I'm here, Hineni, I'm here, I'm open to what you..." No, just the exact opposite. They run and hide. They're in fear because it says they knew they were naked, and so they feared him. They knew that their actions were disobedient, and so they were afraid of a corrective father. And sometimes I think we have that attitude. I can go this far, but beyond that, I just don't have what it takes. I'm just not that person. Of course you're not. Neither am I. That's the whole point. You and I cannot do it on our own. It's a supernatural thing. And so we have positive examples of this term, and we have negative as well. As I think about this, I shared this in the first service about my dad. Some of you know my dad is 91 years old. And he's in an assisted living facility in Jamestown. That's where he was brought up, kind of his hometown. Of course, my mom died a year ago, so he's been kind of alone there in that sense. A lot of residents there, friends, and so forth. But he has dementia, and so this period is a difficult time for him. He doesn't understand, you know, why I can't come down there, why they keep him in his room for certain times. You know, doesn't get it. And so he had an eye appointment. He gets shots in his eye every few months, and they've been delayed, but we had to do it. So this was last week. This is to prevent him from macular degeneration going blind. So we had to have it here this past week. And so I called the staff down there and said, I'm going to surprise him. Since he's going out, he's going to have a week of quarantine in his room. I'm going to come down and take him and spend a few hours with him. We'll stay away from the masses, and I'll get him back. Just have some time. And so, long story short, I pull in there. His appointment was at 10 o'clock. I pull in at 9:30, go into the foyer where only, you know, people from the outside could only go to that point. And I could see him come in. I could see he's frustrated. He doesn't see me. I've got the mask. He thinks he's late. You know, if I miss my appointment, he doesn't understand. There's a bus coming. How am I getting there? He's frustrated. So I walked up to him, and I could just see he was struggling. Now, this is the son to the dad. Usually it's the other way around, right? Parent to the child. And I said, Dad, I'm right here. It's Tim. I'm here. I'm going to take you. It's going to be okay. You know, and he was kind of there and kind of, oh, okay, I'm glad you're here. It wasn't like, oh, I haven't seen you in 5 months. You know, it was, okay, yeah, I got it. But my heart was, you know, to some degree, this Hineni here for my dad, who I could see was vulnerable. And I was there to try to help. And so we spent a little time together. But same principle. This principle on this level plays out as well as here. Okay? And so whether it's a short-term relationship, whether it's a horizontal, whether it's this one, eternal relationship with our Father, who we are and our response to that call to another person or to our Heavenly Father reflects our interest in them, okay, and our commitment to them. And, you know, if the Lord puts people in our lives, puts a church body in our lives, we are saying yes to that commitment, right? I'm here for you. I'm here for your family. When we dedicate a child, right, we say, I will. We respond to that commitment to that child and to that family. I was in, this past week, one of the teachers, fellow teachers, called me up and said, hey, let's go up to the Adirondacks and hike around for a few days. We'll have some fun, canoe a little bit, you know, get out of the house. I said, yeah, okay, let's go. So we headed to the Adirondacks, and we spent some time there. I really don't know the Adirondacks all that well. He grew up in Syracuse, so he had some idea there, been in summer camps or whatever. So he showed me all around, you know, Old Forge and Blue Mountain Lake and Lake George. If you're familiar with the Adirondacks, those are some key spots there. Well, we spent the night in Old Forge. No, we spent the night in Lake George, which is kind of the busiest of the Adirondack mountain towns. A lot of New York City people, just 2-3 hours away north of them. It's kind of a strange thing. You know, if you're up in the mountains and it's all these city folks, and you can tell. And he had a booklet, and he's looking at it. He said, yeah, this looks like a cool trail. It's just, you know, 30 minutes from here. We'll drive over there. And so I said, yeah, let's go. It said an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half at the most. I said, well, that seems doable for us. It wasn't until we got back and he admitted, no, that's one way, and that's for the expert. That's for the person that knows how to hike. And trust me, you see those people. And some of them are my age or older, and they've got the walking sticks, and they're flying. I mean, they're going. This was rocky, scrambling, some of it. You're on all fours, that kind of thing. It wasn't what I expected, let's put it that way. You know, what disturbed me the most, Dodies, here's what disturbed me the most. Young people, kids, you know, mothers with their, you know, 5-year-old and 8-year-old and their dog going up this thing, you know, passing us like we're, you know, standing still. What has happened to me? What happened to my youth? You know, I thought I was doing pretty well. You know, sweat dripping off me and so forth. And fortunately, the other teacher, he's not an athletic guy, but he was committed, right? He was committed to the task. And so we could take breaks every once in a while. I didn't feel too bad doing it. But at any rate, all this to say this. We get to the top, and there's a fire tower there. And it took us an hour and a half and change to go one way to get up there. And we did pretty well for that. It's about 2 miles or so. So we get to the top, and there's a fire tower. And the whole point is to get up there, climb the fire tower, and see the beautiful 360 Adirondack view. And if you've ever seen, I mean, it's gorgeous. It's God's creation, and it really does speak to you. We're at the top of the mountain, the summit. We get to the fire tower, and I'm excited, you know, good, we made it. And, you know, the young family's sitting up there having a picnic or whatever. They've been up there half an hour. So I start climbing the fire tower, and the other teacher, you know, I don't think too much of it. It was about 8 or 9 switchbacks, and you get to the top of the tower, okay, about 5, 6 steps, and you get up there. And so I'm about the third switchback, and I hear the other teacher. And I won't say the name because some of the kids in here would know who this is. So I hear the other teacher at the, you know, like third step on the first tier, Tim, the wind's really blowing. I switched my hat around so it wouldn't blow off. It's blowing. So that was getting to this. He had a fear of heights. And so and I was telling the first, he was white-knuckled on that metal rail, you know, just hanging on as tight as he could on step 3. Okay? And I said, just didn't think about it. You know, I just said, I'm coming down, Sean. I'm here. I got you. We're good. And it hit me as soon as I said it. That's this principle. I certainly wasn't doing it to the degree that Abraham was responding to God or to his son. But he's saying, I got you. We're going to be okay. We're going to make it. And so he, you know, I kind of got down there with him. And he was grabbing on a little bit to my shirt. It's just a symbolic, you know, just like, okay, we're going to get there. So we got up about 2 or 3 tiers, and he stopped. And I said, I'm going to go to the top. Because we'd get to the tier and stop and look out. It got longer and longer at each tier, you know, that we'd look out. Realizing he just doesn't want to get to the top. So I said, why don't you go down? I'll take a picture of you from the top. And so we had a good time. But it made me think this past week of this very passage, of this principle, of our commitment to God and to each other. And in my classes, I try to, as best I can, teach on the virtues and vices in this world, and commitment is certainly one of them. And giving yourself to a person, to a cause, to something greater than yourself. You know, at the age that I teach, and honestly at any age, but especially young people, it's just very inward looking. It just is. And so it's important, I think, for our kids to see that there's more to this world than you and the circle around you, the little life that you lead, more to this world than Albion, New York. There's more to this world than your world, okay, and your friends. And so it's important. You know, I say, look, at virtue, anybody can talk about it, but it's a lot harder to find it in action. And when this word is used, hineni, in Scripture, it is saying, I'm speaking these words to you, but it means my heart is open to whatever you want in this relationship. And that, in that sense, we can be vulnerable to our King, right? We can, because we know his heart is always pure and righteous towards us. You know, I sometimes think about God's perspective in all of this, and his relationship with us. He tells us, fear not, hineni, I am with you. You don't have to worry. It doesn't matter about, you know, COVID, your physical well-being, all these things, I've got it. I've got your bank account. I've got your sustenance. I've got your relationships. You might be having difficulty in. I've got you. Hineni, I'm there with you. And yet, in our response, and we're all alike in this, to various degrees, in subtle ways and sometimes obvious ways, we let him down in our response, don't we? Even though our words may be right, by faith we sing these songs on Sunday morning, but how we live our life sometimes is not an accurate reflection, a good reflection of the things that we believe by faith. And that's normal, right? The idea is that we grow in his grace each and every day, knowing that despite our failures, he is there. every single time. I don't care where we are right now in this very moment, how difficult it may seem, or honestly, how good it may be for you, because that can be a trap too. He is always there and has his perfect heart for you each and every time. I'm going to close with this story. I call it the Darren and Adam story. Earlier this week, I was on a long bike ride, ended up at Rockport College. I wanted to see if the, just wanted to drive right around the university there, school. And the football field and the track was locked up, but right next to it is the field where the high school field is, or the high school, Rockport High School track is there, yeah, thank you. And it was open. And so there's about five or six people there, and they're jogging around. And I'd been biking quite a while, so and I knew I had to get back home, and so I just wanted to walk, you know, a mile or a mile and a half, just walk. So I got like lane 3, 4, just kind of getting out of the people's way that were actually there to do something. And there were these two, and I told her, I need to be very careful here what I say, because this is about husband-wife relationships. There was these two women there. They were in their 30s. One had two kids. The other was married but did not have any children. And they're pretty fit. You know, they're doing intervals. They're jogging for a certain amount of time, like 60 seconds or something. And then they'd stop and walk a little bit. One of them was kind of in charge. I could tell she was more the runner. Well, it seemed like they were stopping like 10, 15 feet in front of me a lot. So they do their thing. Maybe they were doing, you know, 400 or something, I don't know, one lap. And so I could hear everything they're saying. And here were these two gals just back and forth about their husbands. And I'll be honest with you, it was very entertaining for me. I would have paid for this. I would have paid to listen to this. It was like a comedy show. But the whole point of their conversation, and really was one was kind of the crux of it, and the other one was agreeing, and then she kind of jumped on and, you know, talking about her husband as well. They weren't happy with how their husbands were expressing their love to them. They didn't feel like he was living what he was saying. And I, you know, honestly, Ken, the big part of me wanted to like scoot up there and say, look, we're made different. Here's probably their first, but I knew I was smart enough. Stay away. So here was the bad part. They finished a lap and they got to, I mean, it was right, they were right beside me. So I knew it was a time thing. They were right next to me. And I kind of backed off a little bit and let them get ahead because it was awkward. You know, we were kind of walking together. And they had the little outfits on and so forth. And so they walked the last two laps. And I thought, oh, man, they just keep going around, and I cannot get enough of this conversation. And while they were talking about this, one of the gals, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it made me think of this. One of the gals says, he tries and he says he's there for me, but he's just not meeting my needs. He's just not doing what he's saying he thinks he's doing. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's this principle right here. In her mind, right or wrong, and I you know, it'd be interesting to talk to the guys and see what they had to say if they walked around the track. They wouldn't say boo. That's what men wouldn't even talk about it. But so here are these gals, and they were saying, you know, he says one thing here off his lips, but his action is different. He's present, and one of them said, like a roommate. I don't want a roommate. You know, I want a husband. That's what she was saying. And, you know, I'm sure they love their husbands. You know, they're talking about the kids, and oh, we had a big fight last night. It's just all this, and I'm just hearing all this stuff, and I'm thinking, if they knew that I'm hearing all of this stuff, they probably wouldn't say this. But the point is this: for Darren and Adam, that was the husband. Those are the husbands. Darren and Adam. I feel like I know them. maybe that's because I'm too close to that. I'm too close to that. You know, Patty. We'll see what Patty says at lunch. She was here at the first service. The point is this. The Lord wants all of us, right? He wants each of us. He wants everything that we are. So when he speaks, and which is, you know, reading this word, the word of God, that's him speaking to us. When he speaks, we can say Hineni with our faults, with our issues and problems, and as best as we can be sincere and say, Lord, I'm here. I want more of you. I desire more of you. Fix what needs to be fixed in only the way that you can do it, and let's move on together, and let me be vulnerable. This, I think that's a key word, vulnerable to you in a way that maybe I haven't been before. You know, as we think about it this way, think about it too in these relationships. You know, your spouse, it's an easy one because you're around each other a lot. And you're more vulnerable to each other than you are with people at the workplace and so forth. And so I'm going to ask you to please stand. Poor Darren and Adam, you know, they kind of took it on the chops there. But they have no idea that this was they were in our sermon today. They were in the message. They made it to Harvest Christian Fellowship. Father, Lord, in our weakness, we come to you and we know you desire a union, a relationship with us that is deeper than we're experiencing right now. It's just part of the sanctification process. You desire a oneness, Lord. I think about the lilies. You know, the scripture talk about the lilies that just grow effortlessly, and they're beautiful, and they put off a fragrance. And the Lord desires that from each of us, to let go a little bit, be vulnerable, be ready for his voice, and to trust him that he would do the same with us. Make a pleasant fragrance of our life. Hineni, Lord, we are here, and we are yours by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless everybody. Enjoy your day.